Lord, we thank you so much for what you have been doing in our hearts. And Lord, this season that we are in, we know that it has been a season of testing our faith. And it's a season that you have called us to exude joy to those that we come in contact with. And Lord, we want that joy to be real. We want to be people who sing a song about the goodness of God and mean it. And Lord, I pray that as we go through this study, you will help those who are getting kind of tripped up along the way. Those who aren't ready to run down to the local diner and buy a little magnet that says enjoy life and stick it on their car. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to be people who are able to tell the world, enjoy life, because I am. And Lord, help us to get our hands around how to do that by looking in your word and by counting on your spirit to give us the strength to make that happen. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here. I am really looking forward to tonight. Let me ask you, have you ever desired something that you absolutely had to have? Just had to have this thing. I had to have it. And just to clarify, it could be a thing. It could even be a relationship. Or even an experience. Something you wanted to have happen that you just had to have so bad. But something that you just couldn't let go of. Something that you dreamed of or worked towards or held out there as you would be like seeing somewhere over the rainbow where you wanted this thing to happen. Maybe that's where I got to get. Well, I believe that some of the most common items that we would find on people's hopes, dreams, and desires list would include finding love or getting married would be high up on the list. Achieving financial success and stability. How about this? Really wanting something, desiring and dreaming of something, your own home, a home of my own. Maybe even a ranch. Maybe even a piece of property or a mountain. Maybe on that list would be having children. Or even being given more time with a loved one than we have been given. Maybe it's going to Hawaii or some exotic wonderland. Maybe it's starting your own business. Becoming a famous songwriter or a famous singer, or even winning a competition that you have watched for years. The list could go on forever. And none of these things that we've mentioned, none of them are wrong. None of them are bad. None of them are evil or even outside God's gracious hand of provision to us. It is normal and right for us to have hopes and dreams and desires. We just want to make sure, though, that with our hopes, dreams, and desires, we're not being and doing what Robert Overcracker did. Well, who's Robert Overcracker? I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you who Robert Overcracker is. Well, Robert had a dream on his list, something he had to have. This was just something that he was dying to get. Robert, get this, of all good things, he wanted to help the homeless. He really wanted to help the homeless. That's a noble desire, right? In fact, he wanted homelessness eradicated. You see, Robert loved and he hurt for the homeless, and he wanted homelessness addressed. He wanted people to look at it. He wanted to bring it to light, and he wanted it solved. And he wanted it so bad, Robert Overcracker wanted it so bad, that he would do almost anything to make his desire come about, to bring about its fruition. Robert tried everything he could to make his dream a reality, but nothing happened. The dream was not appearing. Hope was not being achieved. And his desire fulfillment wasn't even spotted on the horizon. So what did Robert do? What do we do when we can't get our hopes, dreams, and desires? Well, Robert amped up his effort. He amped up his effort to make his dream happen. He didn't care where he had to go. He didn't care what he had to do or how much of himself he had to risk in the process. Robert Overcracker was going to make something happen. He wanted this so bad, he was going to make it happen. So, on October 1st, 1995,
Robert, I guess, did what any one of us might do to make our dream come true and to bring awareness to what our want is. He headed out on the Niagara River on a jet ski with the purpose of riding his jet ski over Niagara Falls. Yes, you heard that right. I know, I can hear you through the internet laughing. No barrel for Robert. He wasn't that kind of guy. He, to make his desire happen, he wore a helmet, he wore a parachute, and he figured that would be caution enough. This would push homelessness into the spotlight for sure. Well, friends, the parachute didn't open. Allow me to show you the most recent picture of Robert, and it is in fact the last picture taken of Robert. There he is. As for how this applies to our series, well, friends, enjoy life is where we are headed. And I can assure you, that being the last picture of Robert Overcracker, he is not enjoying life. Never found. Not even the jet ski. And he shows us, really, reason number two on our list of reasons why people may not be enjoying life. Allow me to bring you up to speed on where we've been. We learned in our first Bible study that one begins enjoying life when they come alive spiritually by allowing Jesus to forgive their sins and ignite the spirit inside of them, a spirit which has resided inside of them since birth but is dormant until Jesus Christ brings it to life. Then, and only then, as we look at step one of enjoying life, then and only then can a person connect with God. And in that connection, they can then embark on the journey of life at its fullest that God has for them. But we also learned, we were also very honest in our study, we said that there are many people who are reborn followers of Jesus Christ, who are reluctantly, but they are honestly saying they are not enjoying life. Well, friends, that's where we must look at our Bible discovery number two and ask this question. Are you tethered to a hope, a dream, or a desire that is torturing you? Robert Overcracker was. He wanted homelessness eradicated so badly that it killed him. Friends, I'm here tonight to tell you, Robert Overcracker is not the only one who is tethered to hopes, dreams, and desires. I had a conversation that I had with a young lady recently, and she said to me, Pastor Drew, I love Jesus. There's no doubt. I love Jesus. I have given my life to Jesus Christ. But I'll be honest with you, I'm not enjoying life. So I inquired of her what was leaving her empty and what was leaving her so unfulfilled. And it did not take long in our talk to get around to her hopes and her dreams and her desires. And it took an even shorter time to hear that some of her hopes and dreams and desires had not happened to that point in her life. She asked, Pastor Drew, am I spiritually dead? We talked about it. Is that what the problem is? I said, no. You're not spiritually dead. That's not where it's at. You've moved on. You're spiritually alive. I said, I see that you're connected with Jesus, but I do believe that you're tethered. I believe you're tethered. She said, tethered? I said, yes. Think of it as a ball and chain. You're shackled. You are mired. You are anchored. You are tied to the dock. Call it whatever works for you, but you are obsessed with getting. You are obsessed with achieving. You are obsessed with having something that right now is not in the cards that God has for you. You may want it so badly that you will drive your life to the full off Niagara Falls and miss out on what God has for you in the present time. Bible students and seekers of enjoying life, God has made this clear to us in His Word. Being tethered will rob you of enjoying life. In 1 Samuel, we see this example. 1 Samuel, Israel, the nation of God, had been following God. But Israel wanted something, and they wanted it when they wanted it. They wanted something everyone else around them had, and they wanted it immediately. Let's read this passage together on the screen. Finally, all the elders of Israel met at Ramah to discuss the matter with the prophet Samuel. Look, they told Samuel, you're old and your sons are not like you. Give us a king to judge us like the other nations have. Well, Samuel was displeased with their request and he went to the Lord for guidance. God says, do everything they said to you, for they are rejecting me, Samuel, not you. They don't want me as their king any longer. Ever since I brought them out of Egypt, they have continually abandoned me and followed other gods. Now they are giving you the same treatment. Do as they ask, but solemnly warn them about the way a king will reign over them. Gang, we know in this story, we know that God was going to one day establish a king. It wasn't time yet. He wasn't ready yet. He was just a little boy. God was going to establish a king, but now is not the time. And Israel is demanding, they wanted this to come about now. An important truth is found here in verse 7. It says this, the Lord replied, they are rejecting me, not you, Samuel. They don't want me to be their king any longer. You see, Westbridge, Israel's mistake was that they did not want God to be the one calling the shots in their lives. They didn't want God to be that person anymore. They did not want God to be the one that they had to go to for everything. They didn't want to go to him. They didn't want to go to a spiritual being. They wanted to go to somebody. And they did not want God being the one who decided what hopes and dreams and desires they would get. Let me say that again. They did not want God being the one who decided what hopes, dreams, and desires they would get. It is easy. It is so easy to fall into an unenjoyable life where we think God does not want the best for us. Where we think we know better than God. We know what we should have. I assure you, you will not enjoy life if you think you are a better king than God is. Israel, under Samuel, learned this truth very quickly. When the superstar king, they got one, they got a superstar of a king, they've been dreaming of him, they got their dream, well, he turned out to be a nightmare. And he turned out to be a lunatic. Seeker of an enjoyable life. If you are tethered to your hopes and dreams and desires, the first step you need to take is to enjoy God's kingship. Believe that God wants the best for you. Instead of thinking God is distant and far removed from your heart and your circumstances, bask in the joy of knowing He is with you at all times. He loves you as the apple of His eye. You're His favorite. He is a Father who is absolutely perfect. Think of that, having a Father who is perfect. And He is more giving than any father imaginable. Unhook your tether and enjoy the fact that your King has the power and provision to give you anything there is and to make it happen in the blink of an eye. But also know that He does not reside in time as we know it. He lives in the realm of eternity, an existence that has no restrictions. No restrictions between the beginning and the end. He has been to every part of the story. God has seen your life in the beginning, and He's already seen the end of your life. He has now come to us and said, let me guide you to what's best for you. I've seen the end. I know how to get you to the best possible ending. That's your king. He's not a bad king. He's a good king. And He is your king. Your king to enjoy. Enjoy access to Him. Jesus made that possible. You can talk to him anytime, anywhere. Enjoy his protection and his provision for you. Enjoy his perfect, intentional, and personally designed direction and epic story for your life. I recently flew out of Kansas City. I was in Missouri, and I flew out of Kansas City Airport. And the weather that night that we were going to fly was quite bad. Single-digit temperature and sub-zero wind chills. The plane we were getting onto had arrived just under an hour ago from us getting on it, and the plane had collected a lot of ice. We got on the plane, we sat for almost 2 hours on the runway waiting for the airline company to get the plane ready. The pilot came over the intercom, he told us, you know, we have picked up a lot of ice, there is a lot of ice forming on the engine fan blades. And we need to get that off. We need to get that off. Once we get that off, man, we're going to go. We're going to head right out of here once we get all that ice off. I watched out my window, and along came the truck who was doing all the de-icing, and I saw him spraying this liquid all over the plane, and kind of haphazardly all over the plane. And I thought to myself, is this really a good way to go about this? Is this really how you do this? And I thought, wait a minute, is the air, I know what the air is here, the temperature is here, but is the air that we're flying into, is that better air? Is that warmer air? And by the way, I want you to spray this liquid on the plane. I know it's below zero out there. How long does that de-icing agent stay good? Well, I wouldn't say that I was ready to jump off the plane, but I wouldn't go so far as to say I was simply curious. I did have some concern, but it made me think. And eventually, sitting there, I decided whoever is making the decisions knows what they're doing. They have done this before. I know this airline wants to get me and everyone on this plane to our destination safely. They're not doing this haphazardly. So I settled into a faith that we had good leadership at the helm of this airline and that they were going to make good choices. My job was to try to enjoy the flight, enjoy life, and try not to tell the ones who are in charge, tell them that I know better than they do, tell them how to do their job, and what to do in the entire process. 2 hours later, I was sitting in Orlando Airport, safe, sound, and warm. Bible students, enjoy life. Gang, you have a good king. Let him lead. Now, seeker of an enjoyable life, if you are tethered to your hopes, dreams, and desires, if this is you, if this is connected with you, then step two is this. Enjoy the freedom of surrendered desires. You will not enjoy life if you are striving for something that is not God ordained to happen. Let me say that again. You will not enjoy life if you are striving for something that is not God ordained to happen. It is like trying to swim upstream in a very strong current. It sounds crazy, but here's how you do this. You gotta give up to go up. The Bible says you find your life by losing your life. What it's talking about is that you and I get a supernatural freedom when we stop forcing our issues. You get a God-given freedom when you give up swimming against God's current and when you swim in the direction that God has things flowing for you. Several months ago, I started enjoying an old sitcom. KK turned me on to this old sitcom that I've never watched before, and I've been enjoying this whole many, many seasons of this sitcom. It's the story of a few friends who are getting to know each other and finding their way in the world and finding their way in the job market. And one of the friends is a girl, and she is striving to be an actress in Hollywood. Now, for almost all the seasons of this show, she struggles to get her career going. Many times along the way, she is broke, she is discouraged, and she is dejected. But then in the final season, she gets a job through one of her friends as a pharmaceutical salesman. Well, guess what? With her witty personality and with her ability to memorize from memorizing scripts, she has a terrific ability at selling products and great recall at recalling all kinds of facets of the medicine. She turns out to be excellent in front of people selling pharmaceuticals, and she winds up becoming a very successful salesperson. Acting for her became a hobby at the community theater that she near her house. Now, riding the flow of the current of what she should be doing, she starts enjoying life. Friend, there is freedom in surrendering the I must have, and I must have it my way. Follower of God, if you are not enjoying life, and if you are still battling to get what you want, listen to what Jesus says, not me. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, that's you. Then Jesus said, those who want to come with me must say no to the things they want. Pick up their crosses and follow me. Now, we have already established that God is a good king. A king who says to you and me, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not plans to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. Gang, God doesn't ask, nor does he need, for us to tell him how to de-ice the plane. And he doesn't need us to tell him how to make that thing fly, or where he should take us and when he should take us. God says, let go of the things you want, and let me give you the things that I designed for you. Your job is to enjoy the freedom of stopping boxing with God and not swimming against a current that you cannot possibly overcome. God follower, here is the key to your freedom. If you trust God, if you trust his truth about forgiving your sins, if you trust that, then trust his truth that casting all your cares upon him is the right thing to do because he cares for you. If you trust God, you got to trust God. If you trust him for your eternity, then trust him for your here and now. And if you trust him that he loves you, if you trust him that he will provide for you, he will guide you, then trust him by taking the steps that he shows you and that he provides for you each day, every week, and every season. And more than anything, enjoy life. People who are tethered to their hopes, tethered to their dreams, and tethered to their desires, and who are not enjoying life, are reading the Bible differently than it's written. When you are tethered to your hopes and dreams and desires and not enjoying life, you're somehow reading Jeremiah 29:11, and here's the way it sounds to you. For I don't have any plans for you, declares the mean and angry Lord. So come up with your own plans to prosper yourself. Make yourself happy. You know the future better than me. So have at it. Maybe I'll even let you have some of that. When you're tethered to your hopes and dreams, your desires, and not enjoying life, You somehow read Matthew 16:24 differently too. You hear it like this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, those who want to come with me must say yes to all the things they desire. Leave what you have on, leave what I have for you on the ground. Follow your heart. Follow yourself. In fact, you call the shots for me, and I'll take leadership lessons from you. Gang, if you are tethered to your hopes, dreams, and desires, cut the cord and fly with the promise in God's word. Those who want to come with me must say no to the things they want. For I know the plans I have for you, and they're plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Recapping so far, here's what we've got. If you are a follower of God and you are frustrated by what is not happening, if you are mired in disappointment by life's events, and if grief and if hopelessness are pervasive in your life, you very well may be tethered to some old ground by insisting on your hopes, your dreams, and your desires. Therefore, to get untethered and start enjoying life, you must first establish God's kingship in your life. Believe that God wants the best for you and trust Him. And in doing so, secondly, hand God your whole life. Hold nothing back from Him, nothing. Just fully give Him the reign to lead and direct. Allow God entry and allow God administrative access to override your wants. And then, the third and final step. Embrace and enjoy unexpected blessings. Throw yourself into the world God has for you. Throw yourself into it. Make new friends. Enjoy new experiences. Go to places He tells you to go. And embrace what God has desired for you. Bask in His dreams for your life. And enjoy the life God hoped you would find. Gang, my son, my older son, he will be deploying overseas this coming Wednesday. He is going to lead the 1st Infantry Aviation Apache Helicopter Charlie Platoon. Now, as exciting as that seems, it is not, I will tell you right now, this is not his desire or his wife's desire to leave the family for 10 months, gone for the next 10 months. But without a doubt, Cody and his wife Hannah have handed their hopes, dreams, and desires over to God. They refuse, absolutely refuse, to be tethered to what they want over what God wants. They are in step three. They're doing what we're talking about here. Embracing God's plan so they can enjoy the life God has for him. They are working at embracing what God has for them instead of fighting against it. They are gearing up for it. So how did they do this? I'll give you the very practical things they did. One of the things they did to embrace what God has for them, they got the most wonderful golden retriever you will ever meet. The most beautiful little dog. Love this dog. They got that dog so Hannah would never feel alone. She would have someone there with her. That dog has turned out to be an amazing blessing in their life. God brought that. Because God brought his desires and dreams, and this comes along with his new hopes and dreams. That's what God ordered in their lives. Then, they made sure, out in Kansas, that they got involved. They got involved in a local church that has turned out to be a tremendous source of love, support, and encouragement to them both. In addition to that, Hannah has thrown herself into her job, thrown herself into Bible studies, and thrown herself into friendships with other Army wives whose husbands will be deploying at the same time. Instead of being tethered to what they want and not enjoy life, They have untethered themselves from their dreams, and they are living the dreams that God has for them. Their goal for Hannah and Cody is that Hannah drive around Kansas for the next 10 months and Cody fly over the European Alps for 10 months, proudly displaying a little magnet that says, "Enjoying life." Neither one of them wants their hopes, dreams, and desires at the expense of God's. That would bring about as much success, wanting your hopes and dreams over God's, that would bring about as much success and happiness as driving your jet ski over Niagara Falls. God follower, if you are tethered, it's time to cut the cord and embrace Jesus and enjoy life. Let's close by talking to God together. And maybe you listened tonight and you thought of something. You say, you know, there is that one thing that I've been hanging on to. One thing I won't give to Jesus. One thing I just won't hand over to Him. And it's not a bad thing, but it's just something that I really want and I have. And God is saying, you have to give it all to me. Give it all to me, you won't be sorry. I'll give you life to the full. If you're at that point and you're not enjoying life because of it, it's time. Time to hand that thing to God. Back in the Old Testament, where we talk about 1 Samuel, they would have an altar, a big fire pit. And they would bring everything there, and they would burn it all up. That's the kind of place we need to bring all of our hopes, dreams, and desires. An altar where we give them to God. We give them to God and say, Lord, you take them. They're yours. Make them disappear. I'm giving them to you. I choose to give them to you because I believe you are a good king. And I want the freedom that comes from surrendering it all to you. And I want to embrace the life you have for me. If that's where you're at tonight, tell them that as we pray. Lord, thank you so much for giving us this evening. And I pray that you would help us to find the joy in life you want us to find by letting go of the things that are tethering us to where you don't want us to be. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have the courage to hand everything to you. Lord, we know answers were going to be found in this study. We were going to find solutions, but it was going to take the next step of being brave enough and powered up with the Spirit enough to say, Lord, I'm going to do it. I want this to happen. Lord, if there's anyone tonight in that place, I pray that you'd give them the release that they need at this moment to hand it to you and to leave, when we open our eyes, to leave free, to leave with a new freedom. Now, Lord, I pray that you keep your hand upon us as we travel into the next week. I thank you that the weather will be warming up. I look forward to where you are going to take us in this new season that we are heading into. And, Lord, I do thank you for everything you've done so far. Let us continue to be a lighthouse personally as we walk through the world that you put us in. And help us to proudly have that magnet on our car that says, enjoy life. Because I am. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for tuning in. Stay in touch. We'll let you know where and when the next service is. We look forward to seeing you then. But thank you and have a great night.